Today on Real Life Radio.
I tell you what, pursue God, you'll succeed every time. Maybe not in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God. And in the end, what God sees is all that matters, not what men discern. It's the bottom line.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled Those Looking for Redemption. The Gospel of Luke, of course, one of the four Gospels that really gives details surrounding the birth of Christ. You see, Luke gives us Jesus Christ in a way that prepares us for redemption, to realize that Christ is all that we need to save us, and that even at a young age, he shows us the way to eternal life. Luke uniquely shares examples of Christ with us, including a very young baby Jesus who's brought to the temple in Jerusalem for the purification rites that were required by the law of Moses. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when Jesus was 12 years old, he remained in the temple in Jerusalem to sit amongst his elders. Now when Joseph and Mary found him, they were amazed that he was already sharing about the things of God. And as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, he still knew what it was like to be a child. Now in his message called Those Looking for Redemption, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Hours and hours, she'd get all ready, get all prepared. She'd go down to the Hughes Market, and she would just go down the aisle, and she'd get to the produce section. And she told us the produce section is the most fruitful area for the Lord. And she would go up there and she'd grab a banana and she'd call for assistance. Can I have some help, please? And the assistant would come. Yes, ma'am. If I get a bushel of these or a bunch of these, will you take them to my car? Yes, of course, ma'am. You bet. Sonny, wait. You see this banana? Look at it. It's perfect. God made this banana. And she would use fruit and vegetables to share the existence of God with these people. And I don't know if they accepted the Lord to get free from her or they accepted the Lord because they understood what she was saying. I say that in jest. I know exactly what's going on, as you do. Do you think God would honor the ministry efforts of an ancient old lady to even use God's creative handiwork and a banana to share Jesus with the little produce guy to bring him to Christ? Do you think God would honor that? Oh, yeah, Pastor. Then why don't we think more reckless like that old lady? God can use you too, me too, even with a pink shirt. God will use the shirt. I get more comments about this shirt. Not all of them are good. But look, God can use a pink shirt. What is it in your life? God can use it. God wants to use it. And so it's your choosing. Look at our second point this morning is this. Looking for redemption will bring us to the place of wondering about deeper things. Are you searching this morning? Can you say in your life that you want to know God? Do you want to find out more about Jesus? That thought has been brought to your head by God Almighty. You didn't think that up on your own. And you're starting to wonder about deeper things. Is there life after death? Does God exist? Is there a meaning to my life? Wondering about deeper things like spiritual reality. Something beyond what's perceived, something beyond the stained glass windows, something beyond the robe or the windows or the building or the liturgical things, something beyond. Can the Bible come out of its pages and become a living, breathing power in my life? Something beyond perception? Oh yeah, spiritual reality. Verses 39 to 41. So when they had performed all these things, Joseph and Mary had been doing what was required of them by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee into their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew, Jesus grew physically, that is, and he became strong in spirit, that is of spiritual character or fiber, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Verse 41, and his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. I don't want to belabor this other than this one point, spiritual reality. Church, listen. Rome was on the increase. Israel was on the decrease. Things about life were in question. People were doubting, wondering what's real. Joseph and Mary are making their pilgrimage, doing the normal religious thing that's required of them. Church, will that bring you meaning? No. Only a personal encounter with God will bring it meaning. The things that we assemble together doesn't have any value unless you've had a personal encounter with God. For example, worship. We can bring the greatest worship gurus of the world and have conferences. If you're not born again and if you don't appreciate God, it's not going to matter. We could bring in the latest and the greatest of this or that. It's not going to matter. Your heart has got to be right with God. Then, listen, you can worship rubbing two sticks together. It won't matter. That's why the Lord says, or that's why the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God loves that. Did you see little Jordan this morning? You loved it, didn't you? You know who loved it more than you and I? God got a kick out of it. I just simply want to stress that spiritual reality is what it's all about. You either have it or you don't. You either want it or you don't. If you want it, it's because God's calling you. If you could care less, then God's not calling you. It's a very dangerous thing to flirt with these holy things of God, but to trust in outward things. Yes, they were making their pilgrimage back and forth, but had they found the safety and the security? I don't think so. Those longing for redemption also, wondering about deeper things, they would want to draw near to God, drawing near to the Lord. Look at verses 42 to 45. It tells us there that when he was 12 years of age, they went to Jerusalem according to the customs of the feast. Verse 43, and when they had finished the days, or when the days were completed, that is of the feast, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Will you mark that down? Luke tells us that as a young man, as a young boy, 12 years of age, Jesus stays behind. It says, and Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company. Now let's cut them some slack. The word company here, we recognize the word today, caravan. That makes more sense. It's a large company of people that they would travel together, relatives and acquaintances, a lot of people. So Joseph and Mary are not being careless. By the way, Josephus, the historian, says this, that when they would make their pilgrimages, all the women would leave first and ahead of the men because they moved at a slower pace. They would have with them the children, the young babies, the young children, but children 12 to 13 years of age, older, predominantly male, would travel with the men in the rear. So watch this. You got the women ahead with the young kids. You've got the men behind with the kids that are younger, medium age or older. Mary's probably supposing, I don't see Jesus. He must be with who? Joseph. Joseph doesn't see Jesus, so he's probably assuming he must be up there with his mom. We've all done that to some degree or another. But as they went one day's journey behind, they came to camp that night. And hi, Joseph. Hi, Mary. Where's Jesus? I thought he was with you. Have you ever heard those words in your house? Oh, isn't that horrible? Joseph and Mary are looking for Jesus. Can you imagine? Jesus! Can you imagine somebody walking up? Hey, what'd you do? Lose God's son? Boy, you're going to get in trouble. What's going on here? He was right under your nose and you lost him. Jesus! They're looking for him. What a horrible feeling. I can only imagine there's one worse of a feeling, only one that could be worse than this. And that is living your life having lost the Son of God all your life. Living your life and missing him. He was right under your nose and you missed him. Can you imagine? And so they're crying and they're calling out. So listen, to draw near to God. And it's what's interesting about this. You say, well, that's kind of a stretch, kind of a subpoint there, drawing near to God. Jesus is in Jerusalem. His mom and dad have walked away. No, let me put it to you this way. Do you see Jesus looking for them? He's fine. He's having a great time. They have to come back looking for him. Usually it's the kid wandering around. Have you seen my mom? Have you seen my dad? Not in this case. They're saying, have you seen his son? Have you seen his son? They're searching for him, which in a devotional sense announces to me, there's nothing like drawing near to God. You say, Jack, you know what? That's wonderful. Yes, Psalm 73, 28 tells us that it's a good thing for me to draw near to God. The Bible tells us that if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. Did you hear that? If we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. My friend, listen, maybe for some of you this morning, God is shooting at you a little bit of curiosity. You're thinking thoughts. Maybe those thoughts brought you here today. and you're wondering, how do I meet God? God is doing that to you. He's hooking you. He's announcing to you. He won't bend your arm, but he's laying out, so to speak, the bait. And that bait is good news. And maybe troubled waters have brought you to this point. And he throws now his message of hope. And it's right alongside you. And then God says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Just like the children of Israel, they had to take a step into the Red Sea first. Then what did God do? God opened up the sea. Joshua took the children of Israel and stepped into the Jordan River, and then it parted. Turn your heart toward God. And what does that require? Oh, God, please save me. Remember what Peter did? Save me, Lord. When he began to sink in the water. And what did Jesus do? In that instant, the Bible says, he was rescued. Draw near to God. No, Pastor, I want God to draw near to me first. He's not going to do that. Are you truly humble and broken and wanting God? Do you want redemption? Then grab onto him, cry out to him. Like over and over again in the scriptures, we have people who have an issue of blood, the woman for 12 years. And what does she do? She pursues Jesus and grabs hold of the hem of his garment. We've got people like those that were blind along their roadside calling out, Jesus, have mercy on us, O Son of David. And everybody said, be quiet. Don't you know Jesus is coming by? And it says that they shouted all the more. Are you hungry for him like that? Christians, some of you need to hear this again. Are you hungry for God like you once used to be? Do you need a revival in your life? When's the last time that whatever God said is all that mattered? You know, we've become refined. We've perfected things. We would never admit it, but you know it's true. I love God with all my heart, as long as he fits into my daytimer. I love God with all my soul, as long as he's on my Palm Pilot and the alarm goes off. I love God with every bit of who I am, as long as I can afford to. The Bible says, I will not give God anything but that which doesn't cost me nothing. I've got to bless him. And for those of us who are Christians, some of us have gotten so refined in our Christianity. We've grown along to the point where everything's respectable. And God would want to this morning shake things up in our lives. Do something radical. Speak to him again. Go be alone with him and say, God, what do you want to say? Take a notebook with you, my friend, and a pencil and see what he says. You may be shocked. The beauty about it is when he speaks and you jot that thing down and say, Lord, is that from you? I get, you know, read it. Once he tells you about it, write it down. I guarantee you, it's not something you'd have thought up. And the second thing that happens is I'm terrified by what I've just written down. You want to know why? Because only God can do it. Let's, again, be reckless for him. You young people, high school, junior high, college, and career, be reckless for him. I came to Christ when I was 19. I wish I would have come to Christ when I was 9. I regret those lost years. Draw near to him. He's so faithful. And then, listen, getting the answers. You're going to wonder about deep things, and that's like getting the answers to life. You must know. When God begins to stir your heart, you've got to know the meaning. And it says, verse 46, it says, and so it was that after 3 days they found him. Look at this. They found him. By the way, the word found means they retraced their steps. It's always a good thing about repenting and going back to your first works. Retrace your steps. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers. These were the doctors of the Bible, the theologians, both listening to them and asking them questions. Can you imagine a 12-year-old asking these guys questions? Well, more is going to come in here in a second. It's amazing. Verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished. The word in the Greek means that they were at their wits' end when they heard him speak. When Jesus spoke, they were at their wits' end. They couldn't figure out. It was shocking. Here's a 12-year-old speaking to these doctors of theology. And when Jesus spoke, everybody, including these guys, went, they were at wits' end. The word actually can be translated insane. When they heard Jesus speak, they just thought, that's impossible for a young guy to know this. He makes more sense than any of us ever have at any other time in our lives. We are completely radically humbled and overwhelmed. We are at our wits' end. We should sit down and let this kid talk. That's what they were thinking. They were at their wits' end. They were brought to the point of looking insane compared to the logic and the questioning of Jesus. And that's another thing. Can you imagine, have you ever been around somebody who knows how to ask the right questions? By the way, I had a boss years ago tell me I was not qualified for this job. In fact, I didn't even apply for the job. I applied for a different job. They told me, you know what, we're not going to give you that job. And I said, well, I want that job. They said, we're not going to give you that job. We want you to come back tomorrow and meet with this other guy. And I thought, this stinks. I want that job. I come back the next day to interview for a different job. They asked me all these questions, and I didn't qualify for the job. And I said, can I now have the job yesterday that I wanted to have in the first place? They said, no, we give that job away. I said, I don't get this. And I got to tell you, I began to ask some questions, and I realized right then and there, I kid you not, I get it. God wants me to keep my old rotten job. I came here just to interview. I didn't get the job that I went for. The job that I came back for is beyond my qualifications. Ding! I got it. God wants me to witness to this guy. And then I'm out of here. So he gets done talking, and I said, are you done? Yes, I am. I said, you know why I'm here? I thought for a job. I'm not here for a job. I said, I believe in God. That's why I'm here. You know what? And I began to share with him. I shared Jesus with him up one side and down the other. Why? Did I? Could he fire me? I didn't have a job. He didn't have anything on me. I shared Christ with him. He told me how he used to be a Christian, and now he wasn't. Go figure that one out. Okay? And I said, well, you know what? It's apparent why I was here today. Thank you very much. I went home. The next day, I'm at my old rotten job. The phone rings. You know what? I want you to have this job. I said, what? No, this is a true story. God's my judge. Ask Lisa. This is insane. He said, you know what? I want you to have the job. I said, I'm not qualified for the job. No, I want you to have the job. And I said, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pray with my wife for 24 hours, and I'll call you back. He said, what? I said, I'll call you back in 24 hours. We prayed. I called him back. I said, is the job still available? Yes, it is. I'll take it. You know what? I had people working underneath me from Cornell, Johns Hopkins University, Northwestern University. They never knew about how dumb I was. And I was their supervisor in a research laboratory. Later years, my boss wound up telling me, you didn't know much, but you knew what questions to ask. Can you imagine Jesus asking questions? We kind of know how that goes because the Lord was asking Job questions. Like, Job, you think you're so smart? Tell me. Tell me how I created the alligator or the whatever. Wow. Amazing. God knows. And so they're listening to him. He's asking questions. Must have been absolutely amazing to see. And then finally, verses 49 to 52, looking for the redemption, we would be willing, my friend, we would be willing to obey God at any cost. And that means by following Jesus Christ. Jesus said to them, they make the announcement, we've sought after you. Look what Jesus says in verse 49. You ought to highlight verse 49. You ought to pray verse 49. You ought to make it a motto of your life. Jesus says, why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Is that not a great, great answer? But look, you guys, put yourself in Joseph and Mary's place. He's 12 years old. There's been a very, very many unusual things about this child. And there's been some very common things, normal things about this child, as we shall see in a moment. 12 years. Jesus turns to them and says, what are you looking for me for? I don't know. That seems to be a perfectly reasonable question of Mary and Joseph. Why have you done this to us? We're anxious looking for you. His response has got to blow your mind. I'm about my Father's business. My Father in heaven, you know my Father in heaven? Wouldn't that kind of freak you out a little bit? Joseph and Mary hear Jesus say this, but there's more going on than what meets the eye. This is the first articulation of Jesus recorded in Scripture that tells us about what's called kenosis, his incarnation. God draped in human flesh. Yet, listen, kenosis, setting aside at his birth certain attributes that he might acquire wisdom and grow physically and have grace and favor in his life. Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be a little 12-year-old, yet without sin. He, God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, veiled himself in human skin that he might feel what you and I feel and go through what you and I go through. And so he now, as this veil is being pulled back, church, it's an amazing moment. The beam of light from the Father above begins to permeate his heart. And Jesus says, I've got to be busy about what my Father wants. From this moment on, this child, no doubt, will be viewed in very, very unusual ways. But it's following what Jesus would have to say. And that's the greatest thing that you and I can say today, that we must be busy about our Father's business. In verse 50, we learn, just simply touching on this, those longing for redemption, no doubt Joseph and Mary loved the Word of God and loved God. But it's time to obey even when we don't understand things. Look, it just simply says, here's Joseph and Mary. They did not understand the statement that he spoke of to them. They didn't get it. They didn't give up on God. They didn't understand. But they kept going. And then finally this, they committed themselves, or we want to commit ourselves as they did, to the will of God, as Jesus did, a great example. And then he went down, verse 51, with them. You ought to mark that word, with them. It means that Jesus willfully decided to commit himself to their care. At 12 years of age, Jesus said, I yield myself to you. In his heart, in his mind, he makes this determination. It says, though, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. That means she's thinking heavy thoughts, big thoughts. Verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and with men. And I want to leave this with you here. What does that mean, that he grew like this? Charles Spurgeon says that it's the word balance. Jesus grew in balance. What does that mean? Listen, he grew going to synagogue and learning the Bible. He chased chickens. We have a hard time seeing this. He went fishing and he climbed trees. He prayed and he played. Jesus ran and had fun. He played with animals. Maybe he had a puppy. He was normal. What is a 12-year-old? What's a 6-year-old like? Jesus was a 6-year-old. Jesus was a 12-year-old. How do you see that? Do you see him like that? See, in your mind, you see him either so removed that you can't relate to him, and your view of the Bible may be so shallow that you can't bring him down to the level of being like a normal child, because you're threatened by that, because you don't want him to be that much like a human. And yet he is. You guys, he watched clouds go by. He saw in the summer the lightning storms in the northern Galilee. He traveled with friends to Jerusalem. It's amazing. Jesus knows exactly, he knows exactly what it's like to be a 12, 13, 14-year-old, yet without sin. I find that incredibly encouraging. And maybe today I want to ask you, if you're someone today looking for redemption, then you need to hear this. The whole Bible message is to communicate to you your worth to God, that you are infinitely valuable to God. And your value, my friend, is beyond your comprehension to God. God is more concerned about your soul than you are about your own soul. And he loves you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Those Looking for Redemption. Thanks so much for joining us today. You know, Those Looking for Redemption is just part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke, one of the four Gospels of the New Testament, and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, we don't always understand what God's doing, but the Bible tells us that one day we will. The question is, do we know God personally? Many believe there's a God and that he's powerful, but having faith in God is to know and understand that he cares about you immensely. God's power could force obedience, but instead, he gives us the freedom to choose to come to him through our own free will. So, if you're wondering what that means to have a personal relationship with God, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll learn about things like how our sin is separating us from God and how God has made a way through his Son Jesus Christ to get right with him. Again, it's that tab labeled Know God, and it's there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.